All right, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I invite you to go to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5, we'll be talking about the godly line tonight. Now, last time we saw that the ungodliness of men began to multiply on the face of the earth in chapter 4. They were wicked, they were polygamous, they were even murderers. Earth had only been around for about 800 years, and it's already turned away from its Creator. Can I tell you, no matter what time or age on planet Earth it's been, you will always find a remnant of believers. And that's exactly what you find at the end of chapter 4. In all of chapter number 5, there is a remnant of believers in God. And that's what we find when we pick up in chapter 4, verse number 25 of Genesis tonight. It says, Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth. For God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So Adam and Eve have another seed to grow their name instead of Cain. Then it was Seth, and then it was Enos. And verse 26 says, and it was then that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we now have the first community of believers gathering together to worship God. This is the first mention of prayer, worship, and praise right here in the Bible. So even in the midst of ungodliness, we have a people who are godly calling on God. And that's exactly what we as Christians are called to do in this world in which we're living. We cannot change the ungodliness around us, but we can decide that as for me and my house, in the midst of a crooked, wicked generation, we are going to live for God. So in chapter number 4 tonight, you'll see that there were 7 generations. And that was Cain's ungodly line. But once we get to chapter number 5, we have 10 generations, and that is Seth's godly line. Now, they're contrasting lines, sacred and secular, saved and unsaved, godly and ungodly. And you know, it would be the easiest thing in the world tonight in chapter number 5. All you see is this person begat this person begat this person, and they died and all this stuff. It'd be easy to read right through it and move on to chapter number 6. But there's so much meat here in chapter number 5 that I really want to dig it out and let everybody see exactly what we're talking about tonight. So in chapter number 5, you're going to see a genealogy. And the first thing that I want you to see is inherited sin. Inherited sin. It says in chapter 5, verse number 3, and Adam lived 130 years. Begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now that may not say much, but man, this is so sad. Because you see, Adam and Eve were made in the very image of God. But when Adam fell into sin in chapter number 3 and his image was marred, it says now that Seth was made in Adam's image, which means that now Seth is a sinner just like his father, Adam. And here we have what the Bible calls inherited sin. Inherited sin, Romans 5, verse 12 says this, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, I'm a sinner because my father was a sinner, and I came from him. But I'm also a sinner because Adam was a sinner, and I came from him. Now, a sinner always begets a sinner. But a saint never begets a saint. You see, although sin is passed down, salvation is not. But the same way sin has been imputed to us is the same way salvation can be imputed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's exactly why all of us are sinners. Because every single person on planet Earth came from Adam. There's only been one that was not a sinner that has walked on Earth. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why is that? Because Jesus did not come from Adam, if you can remember. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. That's why the virgin birth had to happen. Because if the virgin birth had not happened, Jesus would have been born just like everybody else, and he would have inherited sin from his earthly father, Joseph. But now, since Jesus was virgin born, he has no inherited sin. So as we all come from Adam, we are sinners because he was. And he passed it down to us, and so on and so forth. And we continue to pass it on today. So in chapter 5, you'll see the first thing, it starts out sad because it says inherited sin here in verses 1 through 3, but verse 5, you'll see the effects of sin. It says, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And I want you to take note of these next three words. And he died. Adam lived 930 years. Adam lived to see the whole generation here in chapter 5 except for Noah. You see, he lived to see Methuselah turn 238. And he lived to see Noah's father turn 51, which is very essential. Because you know Adam told the stories of the Garden of Eden to all of these people like Jared, Mahalalel, Enoch, Canaan, Enos, and Seth. You know all of them know about the Garden of Eden. And God let Adam live this long to tell the people that they may pass it down about what the earth used to be like, about God's original plan in the Garden of Eden. And although Adam got to see all of that in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, he also got to see the effects of his own sin in Eden. Because you see, Adam lived during the best times earth has ever seen. Chapter 2 was the best times earth has ever seen. Ever since then, it's been going down. But now he is living now during the worst times earth has ever seen, Genesis 3 through 5. He had to watch murder. He had to watch idolatry. He had to watch sin and wickedness prevail. And you can only imagine, as Adam is here, he is longing to go back to the Garden of Eden. And now he's living in the effects of his own sin there in Eden. Here in verse 5, you see the greatest effect of sin. It says he died. Because you see, God's promise always comes true. He said, if you eat of that tree that I tell you not to eat from, you'll surely die. And it started out just like James says. It says, lust brings forth sin, and sin, when it is done, bringeth forth death. They lusted after the tree. They sinned when they took it, and then it brought forth death, not only physical death, but spiritual death. But here you see in verse 5, physical death finally comes to Adam 930 years later. And that's the sad part of chapter number 5. But I also want you to see this, not only inherited sin, the effects of sin, I want you to see the death of the righteous. I want you to see the death of the righteous. And that's in verse 6 through 31. It says that they had a child named Seth. Verse 8 says Seth died. Seth had a child named Enos. Verse 11, he died. Seth had a son named Canaan. Verse 14, he died. Canaan had a son named Mahalalel. Verse 17, he died. He had a son named Jared. Verse 20, he died. He had a son named Enoch. The Bible tells us Enoch did not die, and we'll get back to that here in a second. Enoch had a son named Methuselah. Methuselah died, verse 27. Methuselah had a son named Lamech. Lamech died, verse 31. Now, everybody's heard this verse at a funeral before. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Because all of these in chapter 5 are counted as godly men who followed God. And we find that every single one of them, except two that are mentioned in chapter number 5, died right here in this chapter. Now what is interesting is that in chapter number 4, in the ungodly line, He gives us absolutely no mention of their death. Because more than likely, nearly every single one of them died in the flood under the judgment of God. And here you'll see right here that 8 of the 10 of the godly line died before the flood and did not see the judgment of God. So in the godly line, 8 of these 10 in chapter 5, they actually died before the flood. Therefore, none of them went through the flood. And God actually starts a precedent there that actually often continues today. That before God sends judgment on a place, He takes out the righteous people. Before God sends judgment on a place, He takes out the righteous people. You see, absolutely none of these men in chapter number 5 saw the divine judgment of God because God let them die first.
God actually does that a lot in Scripture. Before God allowed the Romans to come in, ransack the temple in 70 AD and totally burn down the temple. I want you to think about this. Tradition tells us that every single one of the apostles of Christ were martyred first, except the apostle John. And when you think about before sending judgment, God spared Lot. God took Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. And here in a few weeks we'll see that even in the flood, God spared Noah and his family. Because the Bible tells you that that God knows how to remove the righteous from temptation. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So I want you to see that here is that you've got all the death of the righteous, and although it's a bad thing to see that they died, it's also a very good thing that they didn't see the flood. And for most of them, if we're inferring right, that they were saved, death is a good thing for saved people. Amen. So not only want you to see the effects of sin, inherited sin, death of the righteous. Next, I want you to see the removing of righteous Enoch. The removing of righteous Enoch. Now, nothing much is mentioned of these first few men. Each take up 3 verses apiece: Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, and Jared. But then we get to Enoch, and Enoch actually takes up 4 verses here. And Enoch is a very interesting person to study. He is a very interesting person to walk planet Earth. Because the Bible actually says that after Enoch begat Methuselah, that's when he began to walk with God. And you see, Enoch had his son Methuselah when Enoch was 65 years old. And for some reason, this really drastically changed his life, the birth of his son, Methuselah. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, in Bible days, names were so important in Jewish and godly societies because most of the names that were given were actually given to the parents by God. See, Joshua, his name means Jehovah saves. The name Moses means drawn out because remember, Moses was drawn out of the water. The name Noah means rest. The name Isaac means laugh, because remember, Sarah laughed when God said, you are going to have a son in your old age. And God tells Enoch to name his son. And He tells him to name his son Methuselah. Methuselah, everybody's heard of Methuselah. He lived 969 years. But the name Methuselah means this, and I want you to take note of this. The name Methuselah means his death brings. His death brings. And when Enoch had his son Methuselah, it was at this moment that he began to walk with God. He said, why did he begin to walk with God after he had his son Methuselah? Because Enoch realized that when my son dies, something is coming. That when my son dies, something will come. So Enoch begins to get right with God and begins to walk with him. Now, what is interesting is the very year Methuselah died, something big happened. Remember, his name was His Death Brings. So what did the death of Methuselah bring? The Bible tells you that Methuselah was 369 years old when Noah was born. The flood came when Noah was 600 years old. If you add 600 to 369, that meant when Noah was 600, Methuselah was 969, meaning the same year the flood came was the same year Methuselah died. And you see, the name Methuselah means his death brings. And I believe the moment Methuselah died and went to heaven, the moment Methuselah died and exited his body, is the very moment that I think the flood gates began to open, and Noah and his family went and got on the ark. It's very interesting stuff, isn't it? Some of the most godly people I know are 70, 80-year-old men and women. You say, why is that? Because most of them have walked with God for 30 to 40 years and have become more like Him. I want you to imagine at how godly this man Enoch was. How godly Enoch was. He walked with God for over 300 years. Enoch walked with God for over 300 years. What a godly man he had to be. I want you to look at verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Verse 23. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You see, in chapter 5, it tells you that all these men died. Adam, and he died. Seth, and he died. Enos, and he died. Canaan, and he died. Mahalo, and he died. Jared, and he died. Methuselah, and he died. Lamech, and he died. But when you get to Enoch, it never says that he died. It simply says that he was not. You said, how did he not die? The Bible tells you, for God took him. See, Enoch, at the age of 365, woke up and started his morning devotion of walking with God. And as he was walking with God that morning, God said, Enoch, you're close enough to my house, so why don't you just come on in? And you see, Enoch did not die. Enoch walked with God right into paradise on that day. And you see, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 5 says that by faith Enoch was translated that he might not see death. And that word for translated can also mean raptured. In other words, he was not found. They were looking for him, but he was gone. And the only other man in the Old Testament that to happen to was Elijah in 2 Kings chapter number 2. Remember, the chariots of fire came down, picked up Elijah, and carried him into heaven. That's the exact same thing that happened here to Enoch. And if you want to, in your spare time, go to Revelation chapter number 11. And you'll find that during the tribulation period, the Bible tells you there's going to come two witnesses. Two witnesses, and it is very, very likely that at least one of those witnesses is Elijah coming back. And most people say the other one is either Moses or Enoch. But study that in Revelation 11 in your spare time. But you see, Enoch here is a foreshadow of the rapture of the church. Enoch walked with God. You and I as Christians walk with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch one day was taken and never saw death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, there will come a day where the Christians that are on planet Earth, those Christians will never see death, but they will see a change. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ steps out on the cloud, they will rise to be with Him. So Enoch walked with God. Enoch was taken and did not see death. And Enoch was also taken before judgment came. And the Bible tells you that right before judgment comes on this earth during the tribulation period, God will say, come up hither, my church. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will miss the tribulation period. You see, even in chapter 5 with all these genealogies, we see several precedents and future events to come, kind of wrapped up in a mystery form for us. So I want you to see that chapter 5 in this line, we just looked at, it was the removing of righteous Enoch. You see the death of the righteous. You see the effects of sin. You see inherited sin. And then you're going to see that this godly line led to a deliverer from flood. For verse 29 says, Lamech begat a son. He called his name Noah. Noah is somebody that all of us have heard about. All of us have learned about. And here you'll see that this righteous line led to a man whose name was Noah, who would eventually build the ark. And when the flood came, he and his family would get on the ark, and he would deliver he and his family from the flood. And this chapter here shows us his family heritage and where Noah came from. But lastly, and I'm done, not only did this godly line lead to a deliverer from the flood, this godly line led to the deliverer of all mankind. Because you see, in Luke chapter number 3, these names that are in Genesis chapter number 5, Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalo, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. These same exact names are mentioned in Luke chapter number 3 in the genealogy that he gives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he starts it actually a little bit backwards than Genesis does, because it shows you in verse 38. It says, the son of Adam, Seth, Enos, Cain, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech. It led to Noah. It led to Shem. It led to a man named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then David. And then it led to a man whose name was Jesus. So you see in Genesis chapter number 5, it's not just a family tree. It's not just a genealogy that's out there in the middle of nowhere. This is literally showing you the beginning of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, humanly speaking. And you see, this godly line led to the one who would deliver us from the greatest thing, not the flood, but deliver us from sin. And the actual reason Luke puts that in here in Luke chapter number 3 is to show us that Jesus is the promised seed of the woman in Genesis 3, who would one day come and crush the head of the serpent. So next time when you begin to read your Bible and you get to Genesis 5, you get to 1 Chronicles, you get to Matthew 1 and Luke 3, and you see that so-and-so begets so-and-so, so-and-so begets so-and-so, don't skip over it. But just study it a little bit, because it's there for a reason. And I hope you got a blessing out of that tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray that it would just bless us. God, as we go out of this place, I pray that you'll help us to hunger more for your word. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.